Hey there, folks. It's Brock. I am just about to share with you another great interview with some more folks from Boston, because it is Boston Month this January 2015. These are my friends, Josh Zissen, who we've interviewed on the show before, I want to say like 3 years ago now, far too long, who is the person who came up with the bicycle accident report cards, and also Emily from Hub Bicycle Company in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now, if you go on the internet, it looks like Hubby Cycle, and that's what I thought it was, but that's just how you spell Hub Bicycle Company. Anyways, hubbicyclecompany.com is that's where you can find more information about that. But there's a brand new exciting project here. Obviously, it was the Christmas season, so maybe there were some Christmas trees being flocked. But did you ever want to flock your bicycle with something shiny and new? Well, they've got some really exciting developments in the field of retro reflection. Hub Powder Works is the name of the company. They're licensed by Halo Coatings to offer their patented retro reflective powder coat for individual bicycle frames. A brand new business. I asked them what was up. So let's go to our conversation with Josh and Emily.
Let me see. Can you just say a few words just so I can check your level?
Sure. I don't know what you want me to say, and
you can say anything you want.
This makes me a little nervous.
Oh, really? Well, that's because we're underneath the interrogation vault. That's fine.
Yeah. I don't know what the right answer is.
You know what's great to take the nerves off? Is a bottle of the best IPA on earth.
On earth. 90
men.
That sounds great.
Is that what the label says?
90 men.
Would you like one?
Yeah.
All right.
Love one.
There you go.
Thank you.
There we go. The one thing that always goes with me anywhere I go on my travel keychain is this.
Nice.
Because then, you know, beer.
In case you need some extra links, too.
Tools.
Right. I don't know if that's a thing.
You know, I suppose you could. I never thought about that.
But yeah, no. Depending on...
Depends on your chain.
What kind of bike.
Yeah. So if you... Yeah.
In a pinch.
You'd be screwed if you had...
serious MacGyvering.
Right.
Yeah. Don't you carry a derailleur hanger on your...
The emergency one, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait,
it's great.
A hanger?
Yeah.
Really? So you can put your...
The universal emergency derailleur hanger replacement. Because I drove to Maine to go to my favorite spot mountain biking. I got 0.7 miles in, and my derailleur hanger broke.
Yeah.
And it was a super drag. So then I ended up going to a store and paying full retail for the... emergency derailleur hanger, but I got to keep going on my ride. So I just leave it on my keys now because, you know, I don't want to, like, go somewhere, like, drive 3.5 hours and not get to go for a bike ride.
Seriously. So the derailleur hanger is that's like the interface between, we're not talking about like a dropout here, we're talking about...
It's what's the interface between the dropout and the derailleur.
Okay. To make them both play together.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's supposed to break. Like, that's its job.
So, it
instead of the frame,
the frame doesn't break, but when it's still a drag when it breaks. So
no kidding, yeah.
Yeah,
I should get one of those for my bike.
It's great. Yeah. You only end up losing like a couple of gears.
Yeah,
you only end up losing one gear because it bumps it out a little farther. But
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it works great.
I don't use those gears anyways.
Don't need them.
Wait, are those the ones that make it easier? I do use those gears.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me, well, first, what should we cover? We got we got powder coating. We've got the shop. Let's talk about a hub first. This is a new location.
It's our new location as of August. It's the third and final location.
the final resting place.
In a trilogy.
Yeah.
Yes,
hub
it's the final trilogy.
Right.
Yeah, so I started the shop 5 years ago. It will be 5 years February 1st.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'm assuming there were bike shops in town before. Number one, you want a bike shop because you love bikes, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But number two, were you filling a gap that you saw in the service industry here?
Yes.
Okay.
I think universally bike shops have a reputation of not having spectacular customer service.
Okay.
And especially for women.
Yeah.
Not that this – I haven't really angled Hub to be like a women's specific shop in the same way that there are a lot of shops out there that are. I think it works well for a lot of women because a woman owns it and because in general we try to be friendly and not condescending and not the kind of bike snobby folks that unfortunately there's the reputation for shops to have.
Totally. So. Yeah, I was listening to, have you guys heard of Pedal Hub? They're out of Minnesota. It's a fairly new bike show, podcast, radio thing. great show, but they were talking about service and customer service and how there was one guy apparently in Minneapolis who ran a bike shop and people could come in and he'd say, "What can I help you with?" They're like, "Oh, I'm just looking." And he'd say, "Why don't you come back when you can buy?"
Yeah.
Or something Jesus. Like that. And this is, that's like the antithesis of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's also, it's not a sale. Hub doesn't sell bikes.
Oh.
Necessarily.
Okay. Also. Right.
Yeah.
We sell parts.
We sell parts and service. I mean, we do. We'll sell like a dozen bikes a year, but they're all for folks who can't find what they want on the floor in another bike shop.
Okay.
So it's a lot of. We did an internally geared disc cross bike yesterday, flat bar. Yeah, super fun.
That's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Internally geared, so you can cross way easier.
Yep.
There's no mud and no derailleurs
no
to get
mud
worried about.
It's going to be the dude's winter ride.
Okay. So. That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. So stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you have a particularly bad experience in customer service?
No. I mean, it's funny. I actually haven't ever been a bike shop customer.
You don't need to be.
I don't need to be. And I started working in shops when I was 15. So it's like I've never needed.
Yeah.
I've never been an adult customer of a bike shop.
Yeah, you're used to being treated like a 15-year-old.
Right. Yeah. So you used to be treated like a bike shop. No, I had worked. I mean, I've worked in plenty of shops around. And the culture in general was not. I just always thought that it could be better. Like, it could be people. Could be better taken care of than many of the places that I had worked. Not all of them, I don't want to say.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just thought there was room for improvement, and I was just arrogant enough to think that I could do a better job. So, I figured, why not?
Yeah,
why not give it a try?
Good job. Well, in this space here, we were talking a little bit about it before, but it's fairly large, I would say. And uncluttered because you don't sell bikes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, we get questions all the time. Like, what are you going to do with this space? Like, enjoy it.
Yeah, test ride when it's
bad
conditions outdoors.
Raining outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have a shit ton of basement space where we are right now.
Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit about the storage, because that's a thing that I don't know a lot of bike shops that offer that.
Yeah.
Usually so space is at a premium.
Totally. And it was in the other spaces. I mean, we've moved where this is now 10 times the size of the first shop, the first location. So
that's a good expansion.
Yes.
And three times the
and
size.
And three times the size of Hub 2.0.
Well, it's a good thing you're not moving again, because that would be world domination.
Oh, man, I can't. I don't want to do it.
Annexing a state.
Yeah. Yeah. The state of Maine is now my bike shop. So the apartments here are tiny and expensive, and so there are not a ton of options for folks for indoor bike storage. And since opening the shop 5 years ago, I've heard every year, every spring, you know, at least a dozen people will say something along the lines of, "I wish I could have taken better care of my bike. Like, it was in a snowbank. I just fished it out of the snowbank this winter, and now it's ruined." And it's not, I mean, it's not inexpensive to really properly maintain a bike. You know, a tune-up can cost a couple $100 if you're replacing everything that has been rusted solid.
Yeah.
So we had, I think it was last year, last spring, there was a woman who's a regular customer who was like, "Man, I just wish you guys would hold on to my bike for the winter."
Yeah.
And at that point,
can I check it in for service and then just pick it up like 8 months later?
Yeah, totally. So it was at that point that I had, I think I had signed the lease on this bigger space, but hadn't really told anybody yet. And so it was then that it was like, "Oh, man, we have to do, we've got tons and tons of space. We should just offer storage."
Yeah.
So that's
really cool.
What's the pricing on that, on the storage?
This year we're doing $50 for the winter, or $95 for the winter, plus we'll give it a tune-up, so it's ready to go.
You're rolling in the deal.
Yeah.
That's not bad. And that, I mean, it's cheaper than renting a garage at an apartment or something.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, garage at an apartment is not usually an option around
really
here. Like,
right. Yeah, there's just none to be had.
Yeah, right. They're full of cars.
Yeah, or yogurt shops.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tons of those.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Does anybody else do this, or is this the very first?
I know.
No other bike shops do.
Yeah. Here in town, at least.
And not as an official thing. I think, you know, it's not unusual. I've worked in shops, certainly, that have had, like, pals of the shop that wanted to, like, stash their race bike somewhere and get it out of the house for a little while, but...
I would feel weird about that. Like, about not having an official relationship with the shop where I left my bike. It's like, hey, Greg said I could... Where's my...
Wait.
Oh, yeah, Greg got fired.
It's gone?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Greg's gone, man. He moved to Portland.
So like, is your bike.
Okay.
So it turns out Greg wasn't your buddy after all.
He did his best.
I had one of those where I was, what was it, Velocol, which I showed you. They have an enormous basement, kind of like this.
Velocol's super cool.
Did you get the tour? I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Okay. They have a theater down there. And
they do.
All sorts of it.
They're actually doing stand-up there now. There's like this stand-up comedy night, I don't know. It's not like bike-themed or anything. I think there are only so many jokes you can make about bikes.
See, when I went to Velocol for the first time, it was like, I really liked it because it sort of expanded the definition of bike shop and offered all these new possibilities for what that space could be.
It's a culture space.
It's not just
space,
like, hey, it's a bike shop, but also it's a bar. It's
right.
Like, well, no, it's not just that. And then, like, Emily moves into this space and it's like, oh, there are so many opportunities here. Like, having tons of space and not having to worry about bike inventory, like, to display to people.
Yeah.
It just opens everything up.
Yeah.
So a massive basement and, you know, massive sales floor, I guess. Sales floor.
Yeah. The sales floor.
Yeah. Where you're selling services and labor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parts. Well, we just had like 50 people up there for the holiday party. Cannoli Friday. Yeah.
50 people?
Yeah. Probably more.
It was tons of fun.
Yeah. It was really fun upstairs.
I mean, it's a big space, but I'm still thinking 50 people is probably, like, that's where you're taxing
It was at least 50 people, yeah.
Which is awesome.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks, yeah, it was fun.
Well, that's the thing, like, last year's holiday party / final Cannoli Friday was probably around that many people, too, but in a third of the space.
Wait, so Cannoli Friday doesn't happen every Friday?
It mostly happens every Friday.
But
this is the last one. It doesn't if I'm, like, out of town or...
Or if there's bike party,
yeah, Boston bike party, super awesome.
Oh, is this? I don't even know about that. Can we bookmark that?
Oh yeah, sure.
All right, I'll try to remember that before we wrap up.
Boston bike party, okay. Fun.
So one of the things that is happening with this new space is the powder coating, right?
Yep.
So let's talk about powder coating first of all.
Yeah.
For anybody who is not aware, the term means nothing to them. How would you describe it?
It is essentially dry paint that gets baked on to a metal surface.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
It would be
electrostatically applied.
Yes.
Electrostatically, like magnetism, like
no, no. Like static cling, like a dryer sheet.
Okay.
Dryer sheet. Yes.
So you take a bunch of like fiberglass or something and rub it up against the bike.
Not even.
Okay.
The part is grounded.
Uh-huh.
And
the bike part or the frame or whatever
frame,
is being
whatever
coated.
It is. And then there's a special gun that's used to spray the powder.
Okay.
And as it comes out of the gun, it's electrified.
Hmm.
The statically charged.
Okay.
The powder particles. So it clings to the grounded negatively charged.
Yes.
I was going to mix up.
Got to make sure that's right for anyone who's doing this at home.
Yeah.
Fact checkers, please. But it so that keeps it on the part, the frame or whatever, and then it's put in an oven and baked.
Okay.
But
there we go.
It leads to a really even, really strong finish.
Yeah. So it's like a pizza of color or something.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's like the cheese. It's like the electrically statically charged cheese.
Yes, exactly.
This sounds like something I want now.
This is a rock solid analogy.
Now I'm convinced.
Honestly, it's something that a lot of people already have.
Uh-huh.
I think most bikes are painted using liquid paint, but still, I think it's like 60-40, maybe a little less. It's still a ton of bikes are powder coated.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's because it is stronger than regular paint.
Mm-hmm.
It's often referred to as the world's greatest paint.
Okay.
it goes on very easy. It's very it's easy to apply in a uniform fashion, whereas liquid paint's a lot trickier.
Yeah, liquid paint runs. Anyone who did models as a kid remembers that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it doesn't look like it does in the box because the model car bumper has, like, this line of paint just dripping off.
I hated doing that. Like, I remember seeing all those boxes of things that I could make, and I was like, oh, man, this looks awesome. And then buying it and not understanding that, oh, I have to, like, super glue this stuff together and like sand everything down and like then paint. It's like, let me snap it together like Legos, please. Like,
exactly.
That's all I wanted.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. We need pre-painted parts.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing.
So, Emily, do you have a background in powder coating?
Not.
Or have you done it before? Or is this a brand new venture for you?
This is brand new.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Had you thought, like, if only I could get a bike in this color before?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's...
Well, customers were asking for it, too.
Yeah, customers and seeing Josh's bike, getting to build up Josh's bike.
Oh, yeah. Emily built both of my bikes. All of my bikes? Most of my bikes.
How many do you have?
Oh, that's a good question.
not sure.
At this point, 4.
How many houses do you own?
Oh, jeez. If I owned as many houses as I did bikes, that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
None.
How many bikes do you own, Emily?
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Enough.
All right. Enough.
Almost enough.
Yeah.
Actually, I think is the right answer.
Just barely.
They're all. I have a. I don't know.
Okay. Excellent.
Nine.
You guys are both doing better than I am because I think I have 3.
Oh.
3's not bad.
Yeah.
That's a good number.
I mean, you need one more.
I do. Wait, no, I have 4 because one lives in my in-law's garage here in Boston.
There we go.
And
there
it's
you go.
Perpetually broken.
I know a good place for that.
You know, well,
yeah.
Let's touch base after we finish recording.
maybe I can get you a deal.
So this is big news, and the reason you're involved is because you're big into visibility and safety.
Absolutely.
So, speaking of it, I don't know if I told you or not.
I did notice.
I am wearing the bike safe, and I'm pulling open my shirt like Clark Kent. But, was that 4 years ago that you gave this to me?
Oh, geez, yeah. It's been a long time.
Most of the reflective material has stripped off. It's been washed countless times.
It still looks good, though. That's why they're so damn expensive, because I was like, I want the best possible shirts. Mm. I got, like, really expensive ones.
Also, the tri-blend, like the athletic vintage, what have you?
Those tri-blend shirts are really good.
I'm not a big t-shirt guy. I never have been because I perspire quite a bit. And this blend of fabrics is amazing. Yes, it's very nice.
Yeah. So. Thank you, American Apparel.
That's right. Not getting paid to say that, I guess. Yeah. But so tell us about the powder coating of bicycle things.
Well, so I got involved in powder coating, which is a thing that I didn't know anything about.
Yeah.
Jesus. 2012, early 2012, I think, I think it was around the time I met you.
Yeah, well, we had recorded a conversation, and I don't think we were talking about it yet, because it was a brand new baby idea in your head.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, like, the way that I sort of launched my law practice was that my first case made me an amount, like, I settled it for the full policy amount that this insurance policy had. You know, a friend of mine was hit by a car, broke his wrist. Now he has a piece of metal in his wrist, and
yikes.
It sort of sucks.
Yeah.
But I like basically begged him to let me represent him.
Yeah.
I had sort of started a law practice a few months prior, and I was working at as a busboy at Red Bones. Have you been to Red Bones?
Yes, my sister-in-law works there.
Oh, yeah. I think we've actually had a few beers at
Red
Bones.
I think she served us, yeah.
Oh,
or something like that.
That was like a year ago.
I believe so.
Yeah, that was fun.
I got super drunk.
Me too. That was crazy. So anyway, I was a busboy there, and that was ridiculous.
Right.
But yeah, I like had started my law practice, and then I got this guy as a client, and I had already had the idea for a law practice that was just bikes.
Yeah.
And then I settled this guy's case for him, and I ended up getting him $100,000, which was the policy amount. As a personal injury lawyer, my fee was 1/3 of whatever I could get for him.
There you go.
And so I was bussing tables at Red Bones, and all of a sudden, someone gave me a check for $33,000.
You kind of leveled up.
Oh, God, I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out.
Right.
Instead of using that money to pay down my student loans, which I had not made a single payment on.
Those will always be there.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't say that, bro.
I'm sorry. I mean, you'll have a chance to pay them later.
Oh, yeah. No, those can wait, for sure. Yeah.
But a lump sum like that.
Yeah. No, like, my mom was begging me.
Right.
She was so... Anyway, instead of doing the smart thing, I decided to make a go of it just doing bite cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid to have these cards printed that, like, were an idea that I'd had.
Yes.
The bicyclist accident report.
Right.
And
which every motorist should have when they're insured.
Yeah, exactly.
Now a bicyclist can do that as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, those are available in many cities, including Portland, of which I am the distributor. So if you need a bicycle accident report, please get in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a distributor and sponsor. So I got my website made, bikesafeboston.com,
mm-hmm.
and I rented an office and stuff. But then, because I'm an idiot, or I'm a child, I don't know.
Or entrepreneurial.
Yeah, right. Well, no, this is... I was like, I want a bicycle.
Right.
I want a custom-made bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, like, I didn't have any clients at the time, or money beyond this money that I had, but I was like, I want a custom made bicycle. So I put a deposit on a custom frame because I needed another bicycle. P.S. At the time, I had two bikes.
There we go.
A ridiculous decision. And as soon as I made that deposit, I was like, oh God, that was really stupid. I need to figure out like how to make this a tax deduction or something.
How
like,
is this a business expense?
No, exactly. Yeah. And so I decided, well, I want to do everything I can to make this bike the safest bike on the road.
Yeah.
So I started researching safety technologies that you can put into a bike.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, I mean, initially what I was thinking about was dyno headlight and taillight.
Right. Lights that will never go out.
Exactly. And I was always really into that idea. I still am. Much to Emily's delight,
shaking head.
She thinks it's dumb.
You're not into the dyno thing.
Oh no, I think it's great.
Oh, okay.
For city bikes.
Gotcha.
I think it's great for every bike.
Josh thinks it's great for every bike.
Okay, exactly. Certainly every German bike, because isn't it legal?
Required
there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're onto something over there.
Also, I noticed you do have dyno hubs in the shop. So for city bikes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Not for cross bikes necessarily.
Not a fan for cross bikes.
Okay.
But that's just me.
I wouldn't put one on a cross bike.
I wouldn't put anything of value on a cross bike.
Oh, there we
except
go.
The things needed to get the job done.
There we go. Pedals for sure.
Yeah.
So that was like the initial idea, and then I started getting into these other things. And through that, I got in touch with a company called Halo Coatings.
Right.
And they have patents on retroreflective coatings that,
mm-hmm.
that are sort of already ultra durable, easy to apply, and in either a powder form, or since then we've developed a liquid technology for plastics and rubber and stuff.
Okay.
But at the time it was just powder coating, and in addition to being like all the awesome things that powder coating is, it's also retroreflective.
Right, and retroreflective meaning that you can shine light on it from many angles?
Well, it means that it returns light that's shined on it to the source of the light.
Ah.
So if you're in a car and your headlights are pointing forward, you're in the driver's seat, then your headlights will hit something and the light will, if it's retroreflective, the light will come back in the direction of the car.
Helping you to see whatever the paint
exactly.
is on.
Okay. So like a reflector on the back of your bike, like a plastic reflector,
yeah.
it's the same principle. And that's why, you know, you'll see reflectors before you see the actual
right.
bike.
And because the reflector looks like a fly's eye or something, right? There's like lenses going all different directions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so this does, so this company has patents and figured out a way to do that in a powder coat.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, that's pretty incredible. So I got in touch with them and explained what I was doing and, you know, sort of formed a relationship with them,
mm-hmm.
and in the time since, I've become a part of the company. I'm a part owner of the company, and I've sort of helped get them out of just doing or just pursuing industrial applications and
okay.
more consumer products.
Right.
bikes in particular, but also, you know, apparel and footwear and other stuff. So we're working on a lot of different stuff.
Yeah. Well, and reflection in industrial contexts is key because everybody likes safety whenever you're working around big equipment, machinery, that sort of thing. But there are also a lot of places where we're on streets, we're in places where we want people to see us. It has many consumer applications as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to have something that isn't, I mean, retroreflective technology is already out there for bikes. Mm-hmm. It comes in the form of like a roll of tape that you can, you know, it's stickers. But if you...
Stickers wear off.
Yeah.
And they're hard to, it's hard to get enough stickers to cover your entire bicycle.
And it makes it look like it has stickers on it.
Yeah, people want their bikes to look good. I mean, not everybody necessarily.
As opposed to,
there are plenty of folks who have certain aesthetic preferences for their bikes.
Yeah.
And stickers may not be part of that.
If you want a clean design.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, through my work with Halo, and I've been doing all sorts of really cool stuff, and it's really, you know, exciting and cool. And then I was talking to Emily back in
spring, I think.
Some time ago.
It was a while ago.
Days of yore.
Yeah, exactly. And Emily mentioned that she wanted to maybe get into powder coating to be able to offer that as a service to her customers.
And again, you're just thinking like custom paint jobs, not necessarily reflection.
Yep. Just add it to the list of services.
And, you know, it sort of made perfect sense. I was like, well, why not reflective powder coating?
Why don't we work together?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We already work together through, you know, on all sorts of different things. So why not?
Yeah.
But we get tons of, at Halo, we get tons of requests from people who, hey, you know, can you do a bike frame for me?
Mm-hmm.
I really like this technology. Can you do a bike frame? And the answer is always, sadly, no.
If I
really
only had a facility.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. So we do have a facility. We have a facility, a licensee that does powder coating, but at a very large scale. So they have, you know, 11 fully automated lines that can do this, and, you know, anything less than 1,000 frames would be, it would just cost more to set it up than anything else.
Yeah, it's like if you're in a band and you want to put your record on vinyl.
Yeah,
you can do that with 1,000 pressings. But exactly. When I was in a band, we had a record. I'd love to have that on vinyl, but there's no way that either there's no way that I could affordably get like 10 of them made,
right?
Or there's no way that I could sell 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
Either way, it's not worth it. So
it's really disappointing to have to tell people that too.
Right.
To have to explain that to people. It's like, oh, but I really, you know, it's like,
So individually or short run, this is a thing that Emily, you can do here.
Yep.
Exactly. So
in a much better way than the industrial supplier could.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
Huh. Nice.
So that became the idea, and I sort of pitched it to my partners, and they thought it could work, and so we just sort of got to work on trying to make that happen.
Yeah. So say I wanted to get my bike retro-reflectively coated. What are my options?
On how to do it, or...
Yeah. What does it take, and what do I need to do in order to make that happen?
It depends on where you live.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is it the bike in Medford, or?
Let's say for anyone from another part of the country besides Boston.
Okay.
Another part of the country, you need to get your bike paint ready, which means stripping everything off of it, all the components. It just needs to be frame and fork, if possible.
Mm-hmm.
And they get shipped to Hub Bicycle Company.
Okay. So all the spare parts behind.
All the spare parts.
No tires, nothing.
No tires, no bottom bracket, no...
That's it.
No headset.
Crown
no
race.
Head badges.
Yeah.
Everything.
No special stickers that you're covering up that rusty spot with.
Right. Those will all come off. So then we take it, or I take it, over to our powder coat headquarters. And strip the frame down to the bare metal and put the Halo coating.
Okay. So I could take the components off my bike and you could like buff it down to steel or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So I don't have to be good at sanding a bike.
Oh,
for example.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's included as well as return shipping.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. sandblasting makes me think of this relates to nothing, but there's a shop on my way to work on my commute that does sandblasting of like large vehicles, industrial sandblasting, mm-hmm. I guess. And they're sharing a building with some other business, and the other business has a sign, like a professionally printed sign with a lovely font that says, "We are not the sandblasting shop. Do not come over here asking about sandblasting." I was trying to figure out, like, they must get, like, five people a day just dropping it. Is this the sandblasting shop? No. So, anyway.
So Portland, though.
Yeah. So this is something you're doing this in-house, and you can take orders. Well, so
it's we haven't even mentioned the name of the company.
Yeah.
So oh,
Emily,
yeah.
Emily is the owner of the newest Halo Coatings licensee, and... How long has it been since the doors opened? Two and a half weeks?
Yeah, like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Something like that.
So it's brand new.
Officially brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, brand new. And it's Hub Powder Works.
HubPowderWorks.
Yep.
.com?
.com.
There we go.
Exactly.
So people can find it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And as far, I'm sure like it depends heavily on the project, but what could people expect to pay for something like this? Is it a per case sort of thing, or will there be a fixed sort
there's
of
a, there is a flat fee. At the moment, it's $5.99
okay.
for bikes that are shipped to us, and
okay.
then we return them, and $5.29 for local folks.
There we go.
Who drop it off at the shop here.
Perfect. Okay.
And then we...
So that gives us a sense for kind of what it takes.
Yeah.
Okay. And, of course, the most up-to-the-minute details, I'm sure, would be at your website.
Yep.
Yeah.
But say it again for the people.
HubPowderWorks.com.
Yes. Excellent.
I think that we can officially discuss the new initiative.
There's a new initiative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you'd like to...
Yeah, so the plan was always to get this on as many bikes as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly costs more to do than a regular powder coat just because of the technology involved.
Sure.
So, you know, we started out at the $5.99 and $5.29 price, and we're hoping to get, you know, people excited about it and into it and be able to make some key investments to bring the price down so mm-hmm. that more people can afford it.
Because the people demand it.
People yes, want it, yeah. We've gotten a lot of emails.
Yeah, from people who can't afford. That's the thing.
Like, I would totally do it if I had yeah. $600, but...
Right.
And I guess as we were maybe talking before off mic, I don't know.
I forget.
Yeah, it's all good. As we were talking about before, our assumptions were very conservative going into this
mm-hmm.
In terms of what sort of demand there would be for this.
Mm-hmm.
And
will there be five? Will there be 5,000?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so we erred on the side of caution in setting this up. Over the past 2.5 weeks, we've really been sort of blown away by how many people want this and are willing to, you know, make this sort of investment in refinishing their bike.
That's awesome.
It's pretty great. Yeah. So it's allowed us to accelerate the scaling up process.
Yeah.
To the point where we can, you know, there are two main. How are they doing up there?
we are in a basement.
I guess so. There are two main areas that we were looking to scale up. One was getting some additional equipment that would allow for doing many more bikes at a time. And the other is in the material.
Mm-hmm.
So so that Emily could get a better price on material, she could place better or much larger orders.
Okay.
And now that's all of a sudden possible.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, well.
This is real.
Yeah. It's. I mean, so Emily basically decided to sort of open up the doors.
The floodgates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sort of make this more accessible.
Response has been really awesome. Like the positive response to it. I mean, if you... there are plenty of people who have had ideas about bikes and have put them out to the world and have been shot down by internet commenters.
Yeah, just look at any Kickstarter thing.
Right.
People love to hate Kickstarter. That's one of my favorite parts of the Bike Snob. Is that he has like a Kickstarter of the week of like, here's another dumb product that never should have made it to market.
Yes. So many.
Yeah.
So there's always the risk of like, you know, I think it's a great idea. Josh thinks it's a great idea. Yeah. But, you know, maybe we don't have good ideas or like.
To be clear, I'm not saying that.
Sure. No.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just been great to get, you know, we've gotten a ton of emails and there have been really a good number of them that are like, this is so awesome. You know, I wish I could afford it.
Yeah.
And I just really, I mean, it's such a cool idea. I want it to be on everybody's bike.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
we're going to hopefully make it out of, knock it down to a price that will get it on more people's bikes.
There we go. I think like 50 cents. People could just come in and toss you a couple of quarters.
At least a buck.
Yeah. Come on, bro. Yeah. Excuse me, for profit's sake.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but by the time this airs, drops, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think that we'll have made that announcement, Emily. I mean, is that...
I think so.
Yeah. Again, for up-to-the-minute news, hubpowderworks.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, right.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very so cool.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Let's just... As far as, like, your favorite aspects of the powder coating, there are probably a few, like, you know, what do you like about powder coating with reflective material?
Oh, man. I mean, it looks super cool.
Yeah.
That's a huge part
It does.
Yeah. I mean, there's also my business in the past 5 years has been to take bikes that are not as good as they could be and make them better.
Yeah.
And up until now, it's been, you know, taking the components that are on there and making them work better.
Okay.
And now it's really awesome to take a bike that looks beat up or well-loved.
Well-loved.
And make it look awesome. Like, there's something really great about overhauling, you know, getting a bike overhauled, the bike that you ride every day, if you get it overhauled, it's going to feel awesome.
Yeah. I love this thing. It works well.
Yeah.
It looks like shit.
And if you ride it long enough, you know, you get used to it working not as well as it could.
It's so, about
you know,
where I am.
Put,
yeah.
Like, put some fresh cables on there, new chain, and it'll feel great. But to then also make it look really good, that's pretty great.
Yeah. For
and,
sure.
You know, it'll make you more visible, so that's also important.
And, well, the thing is, Josh, you want work, but you don't want that much work. You want to represent people getting in trouble as bicyclists, but you don't want everyone getting in trouble as bicyclists.
Well, the way I rationalize it is there are going to be a certain, you know, set number of people getting hit by cars on their bikes.
There's a cost.
If I'm getting a lot of cases, that just means that a lot of them are coming to me versus not hiring a lawyer.
Sure.
So I think that's a net positive.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, it sucks how many cases I have. Like, everyone who's asked me, like, oh, yeah, how's business? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Business
really,
is
really,
great.
Really busy.
Tons of sad stories.
These days,
they're like, oh, that's bad news. Huh? I'm like, well, not for me.
Like, right.
Like, you know, it's like... I have to think about figure out a way to think about it.
Right? You're like a weatherman.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not sure if that's a good analogy. I'm not going to search it out.
Well, it keeps me busy.
Yes, indeed. So, but the nice thing is, like, you can work on, like, people getting taken care of after a safety problem, or you can also address concurrently the safety problem from a practical side as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah, totally. And that's, I mean, I wanted to, that's sort of the, one of the things that I really wanted to do when I started just representing bicyclists.
Yeah.
It's like I can make a real difference in terms of, you know, bike safety.
Yeah.
Why would I not go after that? And I wouldn't have to worry about, oh, geez, my, you know, I'm neglecting all my divorce cases or, you know, whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm all bikes all the time.
Nice. Well, should we do a lightning round and close up?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
I'm gonna come up with questions off the top of my head. Favorite locally produced beer?
Oh, man. Something
Jack's
from
Abbey.
CBC.
Oh, no.
All what? Of them from, I mean, CBC.
CBC?
I like Jack's Abbey.
Cambridge Brewing Company.
Okay.
Smoke and Dagger.
Smoke and Dagger from what? From Jack's?
Jack's Abbey. Yeah, they're in Framingham, I believe.
Okay. Least favorite place to bicycle in the city?
Ugh. Huntington.
Oh, definitely Huntington.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in agreement on that one.
Excellent. Favorite place to vacation?
Maine.
Cape Cod.
Cape Cod.
Yeah, I love Cape Cod.
I feel like those two are kind of similar. And different. Well,
I don't know if I could say I vacation there. I just live there.
Oh, okay. There we go.
I used to live there.
I also used to live in Maine. So.
Yeah, so we're not very good at vacations. So I don't know.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't ever take a vacation. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Favorite bicycle shop other than Hub, what have you?
Oh, man. Bicycle Bell? I'm going to go with Bicycle Bell.
I will go there. Well, I don't want to...
Don't copy me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to copy you. I guess Bicycle Bell. Man, I feel like I'm cheating if I go to other bike shops.
That's the best answer.
Yeah.
Favorite mode of transport when you can't ride your bike?
Walking.
Snowboard. Jeez.
Oh, well, yeah. All right. Snowboarding.
That is transportation.
Yeah, you get from one place to another.
I don't know. I'm a sucker for bipedal locomotion.
There we go. Favorite shoes, favorite snowboard?
I haven't actually been snowboarding.
Oh, okay.
Jeez.
In that case, favorite shoes?
Vertin Custom X, which is the snowboard that I ride, and I quite like it. You got favorite shoes?
Favorite shoes? Probably Chucks.
Taylor's?
Yeah.
All right, from Converse.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, hey, this was fun.
Yeah.
What do we? We came into 44. If we talk for 10 more seconds, we get 45 minutes each.
That's the right length for a podcast. That's the appropriate length.
You know us. We go like hour and a half sometimes. I feel like oftentimes we go far past the limit of tolerance.
Just an update. Since we recorded the interview, prices have lowered. So now it's $329 for local customers in the Boston area and $419 for bicycles that are shipped in and out, which is good news for any of you that want to get your bicycle coated, because now it's cheaper. Be sure to check them out at hubpowderworks.com. Thank you for listening to another supplemental Boston Month exclusive on the Sprocket Podcast. You can find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Email us, thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Look for us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Phone in or SMS 503-847-9774. Our show theme is provided by Ryan J. Lane. Of course, we thank all of our generous donors. We could not do this without you. There is, in fact, no possible way we could do this without you. So thank you so much. If you listen, you enjoy this, and you have not yet joined us on Patreon, you, of course, are free to do so. We would love to have your financial support to help us continue to pay the rent, grab new equipment, and continue producing shows for your enjoyment. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great week.
Listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.